Bibles, go to Romans chapter 5. I know we've already read in the book of Psalms, and we'll get there, but we're going to be in Romans. This is the passage that we've got memorized. We've got one more verse in the passage to do before June hits, and we start somewhere else in July. But again, good passage to have memorized. A tough passage when you look at it, okay? And we're looking at confidence in tribulation. Romans 5, 1-4. Again, we've already quoted it. You should about have it memorized, should you not? But I'm looking at the list that starts down there of things that are coming to us. Again, as God puts us into His school of tribulation. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started here. Father, we thank You for Jesus. And Lord, as we look examples for those that have gone on before, been involved in tribulation, but Lord, learned patience by the things which He suffered, it says in the book of Hebrews. And Lord, He's a wonderful example for hope as we look how we should live our lives. We look to Jesus. We thank You that You've also given us men in the Bible that are great examples of people who put their hope and trust in You. And Lord, You did wonderful things through these people. Lord, help us also to put our hope in You. Lord, knowing it's more than just a hope that might fail, but it's a sure hope that will be successful. Lord, thank You that we can pray in Jesus' name. In His name we pray. Amen. Again, as you look at the list here, it starts with tribulation. And again, the old joke kind of goes in Christian circles, don't pray for patience. Because if you pray for patience, the way you get patience is what? Tribulation. But you know what? Maybe we do need to pray for a little tribulation. You can see as it's introduced, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Again, that word glory is the same word that's used earlier for the word rejoice. It's rejoice in glory. Same thing, we rejoice when they come, okay? Again, you can go to James 1. We went there when we preached this passage, okay? But count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or tribulations and trials there. Count it all joy. And so tribulations are coming. Again, tribulation, said it before, I'll keep saying it, is a way that God builds us and makes us stronger. Okay? Tribulation makes us stronger. Just kind of joking with my daughter the other day, and she made this statement that went something like this, I was a little nervous when I dropped the baby off at your house that all you and Mom were going to do when you were there, or again, was hold him all day long, and then when I got him, I'd have to hold him all night long, because all he was accustomed to was being held. Well, quite the opposite happens. Now, I love to hold babies, and I love that, but I learned a long time ago, if you just hold babies, they don't mature and grow like they should, okay? You put them on the floor, okay? That's pop. Now, that's it, okay? But back in the wintertime, oh, the coal heater was on, the coal heater radiates. The best place to be in our house was on the floor in the basement. Now, it's carpeted, but the floor was so warm, and we put him down there. Next thing you know, you put him down there, and he just kind of lies on his back and looks at you, okay? All of a sudden, you look at him, and he's not where you put him. He rolled across the floor, okay? And he's rolling all over the place. Now you got to start putting pillows around the place, right? So he can only roll so far, you know? And so he's learning to roll and all that. Next thing you know, you're looking at him, and he's sitting up looking at you. You're like, whoa, when did you learn that? Okay. Next thing you know, he's on his hands and his knees. Now you know what's going on. Okay. The other day, I changed him. And by the way, Brother Bill, I do a lot of changing. Okay. I do a lot of changing. Okay. But I changed him the other day, and I put him on the floor, went to throw the diaper away, came back. He's standing there holding on to the seat, looking at me. How you doing? Doing all right? Okay. Now, you see what's happening, don't you? Now, let me just tell you this. The first time he rolled, the first time he tried to sit up, the first time he's standing up, can I tell you what happens? They fall down. And sometimes you're sitting there, and I don't know what this is going to sound like, but you're sitting there and you hear this. And you know you hit his head. Because that noise is just the right noise. You hit his head. And you just kind of sit there like, is he going to cry? Is he going to cry? Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. You know, and then he didn't cry. Okay. Okay, next thing you know, he's sitting up again. What are you afraid of? He's going to fall over and hit his head, right? It's okay. He's learning, okay? Now he's kind of standing up and he pulls himself up on furniture and all that. Somebody tell me what's next. He's going to start what? Letting go. But what's going to happen when he lets go a couple times? Whoomp, he's going down, okay? What if I said, oh, this is horrible. He tried to walk, he fell down. He's never, ever going to be alone in my house. I am going to hold him for the rest of the time he's here. I'm never going to let him go. I'm just going to hold him for the rest of the time he's here. Good for him or bad for him? It's not good, okay? I got to let him pull himself up on furniture. He's going to fall. Now, lest you want to call somebody on Pop, okay? Pop's already raised two kids that lift, okay? We're all right. We don't just put open stairwells and things they can kill themselves. We've got pillows around and the dangerous things are moved. Everybody understands that, don't you? But I got to let him pull himself up and I got to let him what? Fall. It's just the way it happens, okay? And again, he's doing things. I do know this. I'm praying that he doesn't start walking at our house. Mom and Dad need to see that first. Am I right about that? So every time he starts to walk, I guess I'll just knock him down. No, you can't do that. Can't do that here. Do it at your own house, okay? You know, and if he does walk at our house first, we're not saying anything, okay? Because Mom and Dad want to see that first or whatever. But you understand, even in little children, you've got to let them go through their bumps and bruises, okay? Not even babies. The other day, Ryan, okay, now, unless you think Ryan said, oh, you can't believe that. I went to a yard sale the other day in Bellefonte, and I bought some things for the auction, and they did real well, and I bought a bicycle, and we auctioned it off the other day. But he said, I bought a motorcycle for the kids. Okay, now, folks, you know that they're 5 and 4. Okay? The other day, I pulled up to the school. I looked out across the upper field there at the school. Guess what I saw? Grant going out across the field on a motorcycle. Now, I know some of you are thinking, like, one this big. Did anybody see the motorcycle? It's like that big, okay? It's about that big. But they go across that field, and from time to time they're riding a little bit, and it's going all of a sudden, whoop, boom, they fall over. Okay? It's the way it is. Okay? They're not dying. It's okay. It's electric, by the way. It's not, but it says it holds 220 pounds. I'm under that. I'm giving this thing a try, okay? But are you understanding tribulation? Okay? Now, I know some of you probably look at me and say, man, you're a bad parent. You're a bad pop, you know, because you let your kids go through some knocks and bumps. Call it what you will. But you know what? They need it. Okay? They need it. So as they get older, daddy's not always going to be there. And they need some tribulation in their life. Okay? They need it. It's good for them. You know, my daughter's around me, but my son's in Texas, but they both have positions that they go through tribulation. You know, life's not always easy. But you know what? They're used to tribulation. Because tribulation builds what? Patience. Patience is not waiting. I've said that how many times? Patience is doing the right thing for as long as you're supposed to do it. That's what patience is, okay? Doing the right thing for as long as you're supposed to do it. Okay? And if that means being kind to people, as long as you're supposed to be kind to them, then being patient. Again, we have the verses over in Hebrews chapter 12. We'll see them later. But sometimes patience is running. And not what? Stopping. Okay? Again, I had to brag on Marty Mihalik. Again, she ran her first half marathon just about, what, two weeks ago. Marty ran her first half marathon. And basically, as we were talking about her running her first marathon, half marathon, her goal was, I don't want to walk. That's patience. You run that entire race, okay? You just keep your feet going. And by the way, the definition of a run is basically when both feet are not on the ground at the same time. You've basically hopped off of this one before this one hits the ground. Does everybody know that? The definition of a walk is before you pick this foot up, the other one has hit the ground. That's an Olympic definition, by the way, if you didn't know that, okay? Because they do have running races in there. But you want to run the whole way, which means before this foot hits the ground, this one has come up. And you just keep them going. Now, your steps may not be as big as you want them to be. Okay, after 13 miles, it's hard to make them go that big, is it not? But I got to brag. Marty came in first for her age group. First. That's pretty good. That means she's, like, really good. Okay? She did really good. But she says, I just want to run the whole way. It was great to stand there at the starting line with Marty, and I said, hey, Marty, let's pray. We need to pray. We got a long way to go. Let's pray. And she goes, and we got to say the true winner's creed, too. Amen. Let's say the true winner's creed. But that's running. That's patience. Okay? Whatever else it is, whatever you do at your job, it's patience. Keep doing the right thing as long as you're supposed to do it. And sometimes tribulation comes to make you stronger so that you can keep doing it as long as you're supposed to be doing it. So that's what it is. And again, patience then gives us experience. Again, this is the idea. When you look at a new challenge coming up, you can look at something in the past and say, with God's help. Now, again, if I ever leave those words off, I don't mean to, but you understand this. I'm never saying, look at new challenges and I can do this. If I say that, if I just slip and say, hey, you know, God puts a challenge in my life, I can do this, I always mean I can do it with Christ that strengthens me. Because we have a verse, do we not? We'll see it later on the screen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. But again, a new challenge comes. Well, God got me through the challenge behind me. The experience is there that whatever God lays in my path, God and I can get through it. And so instead of running from a challenge, instead of running from a tribulation, what do we say? We're going to meet it head on. Because God has done wondrous things in the past, we've got experience for the future. We know that God can work through us, and this can be done. And then basically, because of experience, it's a big word. It's not the word that you hear most of the time in the English language. It's the word hope, which is a confident trust. I mean, Jesus is the blessed hope who's returning to this earth. How many of you think He's not coming? He is coming. I mean, it may be a hope, and we may use the word hope, but it's not like, well, I hope my ball team wins. Okay? When we say the great hope, the blessed hope of Jesus, He is coming. It's a confident trust. Didn't the ladies play for the offertory? Okay? A song about Jesus returning, and it could be soon. Could be today. Okay? And so you can see here that this word hope is not just, it's not a betting word. Well, I hope it lands on my number. Okay, is there even a bet that you do that? I'm not into that. But again, it's a hope, it's a confident trust that as tribulation continues to come, God is going to be with me and I can get through these things. Let me just give you some few things here. Again, the Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We need strength because there are hard times coming. Okay? I don't know. Are the toughest times of your life behind you or yet to come? Okay? We don't know what God has for us, but we need strength to get through. Again, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. and all the sayings that he had, one of his sayings was basically from this verse, a test of your character is what it takes to stop you. Okay? What's it take to stop you? What's it take to stop you? Can I tell you what it takes to stop a lot of Christians? Just somebody say something nasty. That's all. Just say something nasty about them. They're done. Well, I'm never going back to church because somebody said something nasty about me. Really? You quit because of that? That tests your character is what it takes to stop you. Okay? Again, little things come up and people just quit. Well, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. We've got to make sure that, again, if something stops us, it better be pretty big. It better be really big. Okay? And by the way, I do believe that when God brings things into our lives, tests and challenges into our lives, doesn't He always supply the grace and the strength? And that's what grace is sometimes, strength, God's strength. Doesn't He always supply the grace to get through it? I think He does. Didn't Paul say that I've got some thorns in the flesh, but your grace is sufficient? You know what? A test of your character. What is it that stops you? And again, keep going. We're good. I like human interest stories. I do. I like watching people who do things on TV or whatever and something happened to them, but they didn't quit. They just kept going. Wasn't there one this week? It kind of goes along with this. It's not a perfect example. Did anybody see the example of two twins that were running a race in high school or whatever? And the one pulled a bad leg muscle really badly in her leg or whatever and couldn't finish running, and the other twin was a little bit behind her, and the twin came up and put her sister on her back and ran the rest of the race with her sister on her back. That's amazing. Okay? Hey, those two girls were going to finish that race. Okay? Maybe I should have come up lane and made Marty carry through the rest of that race. Maybe I should have done that. Okay? But everybody's seeing that. There's good human interest stories about the people that face huge challenges. You know what? They didn't stop. I remember a few years ago, I don't know if it was in the Australian Olympics, but some runner from Great Britain or whatever came up lane on an 880 or whatever. And he just kept hobbling as best he could. And I think halfway to the finish line, didn't his dad come out of the stands and help him then? But that boy said, I'm not stopping. I don't care if my leg falls off. I'm not quitting. I trained myself for years for this race, and I'm going to make it to the finish line. Test your character. What is it that stops you? You know what? I pray that we get to be Christians that are strong in the faith. It doesn't matter what comes in our way. People can say nasty things about us. They can lie about us. They can do whatever they want. We're not going to quit. I've made the statement to churches before. You know, it really doesn't matter. Now, I know we don't have church tonight, but just follow the statement. It really doesn't matter what you say about me this morning. I'm coming back tonight. I'm coming back tonight. If you think you can say something, oh, we got the pastor to quit because we said something. Now, I'm sorry, I'm coming back tonight. Okay? Now, I know we don't have church tonight, but there might be enough food. I'm just going to stay here and just eat another meal here tonight. I don't know. What stops you? What stops you? Again, let's look at this. You know what? Sometimes rich people, and again, there's a verse in the Bible, so that's why I'm picking on rich people. But again, I don't know who's rich here and who's not. But rich people sometimes depend on money rather than strength of character to get them through. I mean, some of you have done it. Have you ever watched Gilligan's Island? Weren't there like two rich people on the island? What was their basically idea of getting them through any struggle? Just what? Throw money at it. Am I right about that? Okay. Is anybody still alive from that show? Or I don't know. Is Marianne still alive? I don't know. But again, the rich people on the island, didn't they just throw money at the problems? That's all they did. You know what? But when a real trial comes and money can't help, they have no strength of character to keep going. I have a verse. It's James 1. Go with me, please. Go with me to James chapter 1. Again, this is what James says about rich people. Again, people that are so used to just buying themselves out of trouble, but trouble comes that you can't buy yourself out of. This is what James says about rich people. But the rich, I'm at verse 10, James 1:10, but the rich, and that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Are you understanding what that means? All of a sudden, a tough time comes. If you deal with flowers, you know this. The other day, my wife and I were putting flowers around the house. We like doing that. And the other day, we hung some flowers on a pole on our deck. Okay, we've got flowers on a pole. And basically, the idea was, well, don't water those. We're going to hang them up later today. And once we hang them up, then we'll water them. Well, sure enough, I got the hanger up and put them up there. I forgot to water them. Okay, a little bit later, my wife came out and says, honey, you better water those flowers. Look at them. And sure enough, those posies were what? Starting to droop their heads. Is everybody with me? Okay, and that's kind of the idea. Where we put them on the pole, it was a little hot that day. The sun was coming in on there. The water was low. And all of a sudden, those posies were just starting to go down. Well, I had to get the hose out and watered them very quickly. In a little time, what happens then? They're back up. But those posies are a great example of what happens here. A little bit of heat, and people wither away. No strength of character. No depth of root. Does that make sense to you? They're just not settled there. Again, we're not going to turn to it again, but it's sort of like Job 42:5. When Job started all his trials, he hadn't been through something like this before. But when you get to the end of the book, Job says something like this. You know what, God? I heard about you, but now my eyes have seen it. And you'll find out that though Job was a righteous man and a good man in the beginning of that book, at the end of the book, he was still a righteous and just man, but he was a strong, righteous, and just man. Does that make sense to you? And he says in Job 42:5, you know, God, I heard about you, God. I heard about the great things, but now I've seen it. And now he's a stronger man for the tribulations that he's gone through. Again, with somebody like Job, but we've got great examples in the Bible of people that have lived victorious. Again, it's not impossible to do. It's not impossible. Now, I will say this. Nobody's perfect. We all fail. We all get defeated from time to time. Is anybody here ready to write the book? You know what? How I've lived a victorious Christian life every day of my life? Anybody here ready to write that one? Not me. Not me. I've fallen. I've failed. I wish I wouldn't, but I have. But sometimes falling and failing, you get back up, do you not? And you get back up a little wiser and a little stronger for what's going to happen the next time tribulations come. But many have lived victorious lives and are examples. Again, we're not going there, but Hebrews chapter 12. We are surrounded so by such a great cloud of what? Witnesses. I mean, Hebrews 11, which is the chapter before 12. Are you following me through on that? Okay. It's all about people that live victorious. Okay. Some of them died, but they were still victorious. They were still victorious. And so we got a whole cloud of witnesses, okay? And there was, and I know in these verses it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Now I know that some people say, "What's your besetting sin?" Let's take this in context. Chapter 11 is about faith and people who were faithful. When you get into chapter 12, do you know what the sin is that so easily besets us? Being faithless. That's the one that gets us. All of a sudden, the tribulation comes in our lives. Oh, no, what are we going to do? We can't get through this. Oh, we're going to fail. God's not watching over me. That's the sin that hits all of us. And what we're saying is the sin that so easily besets us is being faithless. Let's be faithful. And by the way, when I have up there, many have lived victorious lives in our examples. It's just not people. When you get into chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, as I have on the screen there, Jesus becomes the ultimate example. I mean, He faced a contradiction of sinners against Himself. And yet He went all the way to cross and died for our sins. He didn't quit. He didn't quit. And I tell people, well, next time you think about quitting, meditate on what if Jesus would have quit. I know where I'd be headed right now. To hell. Because nobody would have died for my sins. And I'm in trouble for paying them for myself. So we've got great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before and they've been victorious. They've been through tribulation. Maybe they failed at times, but they got stronger and they lived victorious Christian lives. Again, I love a guy named Jonathan. I said the other day, I don't know if anybody in here likes the guy Jonathan. Is he your favorite man in the Bible? And Jonathan Mahalik came up and said that he's my favorite man in the Bible. I should have figured that one out. Okay? He said, that is my favorite man in the Bible. Amen. Good man to have, is he not? But again, he said something like this. I mean, listen to this. Okay, now watch. Tribulation, patience, patience, experience, experience, hope. Here's a man, and his job in life was fighting people. Dangerous job. And he says, the Lord will work for us. For there is no strength to the Lord to save by many or by few. If you don't have that verse marked in your Bible, I know sometimes I don't like putting verses up there because then you don't turn to them, but find out where that is and mark it. Okay? This is a man who looked at his armor bearer and said, there are 20 Philistines on the top of that hill. And we're going to go up and kill them. Are you with me? Somebody tell me what the armor bearer said. I'm with you. And he only had one sword. Okay, so the armor bearer is like, what do I get? You know, God's going to work for us. We're going to climb up over that mountain. And when we get there, we're going to kill these guys. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Again, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, just as they started to climb, remember, the Lord has delivered them into our hand. Now watch this, folks. That's the hope that I'm preaching about. Tribulation, patience, patience, experience, experience what? Hope. So you don't see Jonathan down on the bottom of the hill go, hey, how many of you guys up there? There's 20 of us. Okay, have a good day. And he walked away. I mean, he looked at his armor bearer and said, what? They're ours, man. The only regret is, too bad there ain't 50 of them we can go up and kill. We got these guys. That's hope. Confident trust in God, okay? And by the way, do you see in his talk, do you see it? Every time he talks, he's got the Lord in there, does he not? It's not you and me, man. It's the Lord. That's what we need to make sure. And this is a great example of a man who said, you know what? God's put some tough times in my lives. But you know what? He's been good to me and I've gotten stronger. And now I know that when God puts another thing in my life, we can do it. It doesn't matter if there's 20 men up there or not. We can go up there and we can be victorious. Another great man in the Bible. I love this guy. Okay? How many of you like David? David's pretty good. Okay? Got a David here. He raised his hand. There we go. Love David. I love this. I like quizzes and I didn't know the answer, but it's a good quiz. What was the last thing basically that David said before he went out and fought the giant? What did he say? I mean, he looked at him. This is the last thing he said. He will give you into our hands. By the way, who's he? God. I mean, this is the last thing recorded in the Bible he said before he ran straight to the giant. He said, he will give you into our hands. Because tribulation makes patience, patience experience, and experience what? Hope. And that word hope is, again, I'm going to say it again, it's not that word we use in the English language. Well, I hope I can beat this giant. It's confident trust, okay? And that's why I called the sermon Confidence in Tribulation, okay? I mean, he looked right at you. I don't know. You might say, well, he's a little bit too confident, don't you think? No, he just trusts in the right God. He just trusts in the right God. He will give you into our hands. This is a man who wrote songs, okay? What a great thing to put to a tune if you could. Thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. There's David writing songs. And in his songs he says, you know what, God? You've saved us from our enemies. And you know what? Those who have done things to us, you've put them to shame for the things that they've said. And I'll tell you what, Goliath said some pretty bad things about the Israelites and their God. You trust in him. There's David. I've said this before. I don't think I've ever had anybody in this life who really wanted to kill me. I remember saying this one time, and Sean Myers said, Pastor, I go to work every day and 1,000 men want to kill me. I was like, whoa, I'm praying for you better. I don't think anybody in this world has ever wanted to kill me. I don't think so. You know what? And David had a big guy. He said, you know what? I'm going to feed you to the birds, buddy. And David said, No, he's going to give you into our hands. There's hope. Confident trust. We've got people that have gone before us that are great examples of this. Again, to remind you, I want to keep doing this. Victory comes from God. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 40, please. Isaiah chapter 40. Those of you who know me know that I like these verses. Isaiah chapter 40, 31 is my life verse. Isaiah 40, 29. We'll read down to verse 31. Again, victory comes from God. We don't ever want to say, I can do this. And that's what I said. If I ever do say that in the sermon, I don't mean that. Again, I with God's help. But there in verse 29, it says, he giveth power to the faint. To those who have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Again, this is a great verse that tells me, you know what? You want to be that person? It comes from God. It's not me. It's not my strength. It's not what's in me. I tell people, besides having word prayer before we go run a race, before saying the winner's creed, I quote Isaiah 40:31 a lot. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I tell people, the 11th mile is where I quote it more than anywhere else. Somebody said the 11th mile. Yeah, the 11th mile is the hardest mile on that race. Because when you hit mile 12, you realize I'm within a mile of being it done. And that kind of perks you up a little bit. Well, I don't know. Those of you who've seen me finish a race, some maybe. Okay. But the 11th mile is where you just want to quit. I'm never going to make it. And I start quoting, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll man up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But I told people, that's not just a runner's verse. That's a verse for somebody living life. And all of a sudden, tough times come. You know what? And I'm not even running. I'm sitting here. I'm standing here. You know what? God, you need to renew my strength. Tough things have come into my life right now. I need help. He gives strength to us, is what he does. Again, let me give you a few more verses here. Do you know this verse? I can do all things. I've underlined some words. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Again, one of the biggest lies in the Bible would be that verse without the rest of it. I can do all things. What a lie. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Going on, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Then it says what? Through him that loved us. Through him. We're more than conquerors. I don't know what more than a conqueror is, but I'd be satisfied just to be a conqueror. But more than conqueror, that's really good, is it not? Again, we've got other verses here. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, how many of you like to win? Anybody here like to win? Nobody? Just me? No. I like to win. Okay. Again, when it comes to something important, Again, yeah, you know, blame my grandkids. I don't always have to beat them. Okay, it's okay to let them win from time to time. All right, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Going on again. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Again, you can see here, God, He causes us to triumph. And again, that triumph comes in Christ. So we've got confidence there in tribulation. Okay. Confidence, because God's going to do it through us. He's the one that's going to do it. Again, let me give you a few more words, a few more places here. Again, go with me to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. We'll start reading at verse 5. You can see there, Psalm 20. Psalm 20, verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen. We are risen and stand upright. Ever play a game? Something like this, last man standing. You ever played King of the Mountain or something like that? At Camp Calvary, they have a raft, it's not a raft, it's a dock, a wooden dock out in the middle of the pond. And I nicked that thing wrestle raft, because there was times I was out there doing a bunch of stuff, swinging on the ropes, going down the slides, jumping off the thing, cut a backflip off the 18-foot wall. And after a while, I said, man, I am tired. So I swam over to this raft, and I was just lying on it, thought, boy, man, I'm really tired. Next thing you know, I heard some guys climbing up on it. Next thing you know, they picked me up and threw me in. I was like, what was that? And they go, don't you know that nobody's allowed to sit on this thing without having trouble? I was like, oh, so they sat down. So I climbed up. We were after it, buddy. Last man standing, okay? It's a wrestle raft. I don't know what it's called, but it's a wrestle raft, isn't it? And there was one time, did it ever happen to you guys? We all got on one side of it because we were all wrestling, and the thing kicked up and slid us all in. And I thought it was going to flip over and kill us all, but whatever. You know, it's a wrestle raft. Last man standing. I'll tell you what, there's nothing better. Okay, also at Camp Calvary, they got a telephone pole across the pool. We love this one, don't we, Jared? Okay. They have a telephone pole. You go, one guy comes in from one side, one guy comes in from the other side. You meet in the middle. Okay? And the whole thing is to throw the other guy in and you stay on the telephone pole. There is nothing more humiliating as you're watching yourself go into the pool. You look up there and the guy on the telephone pole is like waving to you like, I'm not going in. I always said, boy, if I'm going in, I'm grabbing you with everything I got so I can drag you in with me. The key of it is to make him hit the water before you do. Okay? But the biggest humiliation is when you're in the water and they're still standing on the log. Okay? And if that ever happened to me, I'd always give it one of these, you know, like, ha-ha. Okay? Do you notice what how that... Now, you say, why'd you say all that? Look at the last verse we read. Okay? They are all brought down and fallen. But what are we? We are risen up and we will what? Stand upright. I'm still standing. Okay? I'm only reason why I'm standing is not because I'm strong and powerful. I serve a big God. Tribulation brings... And by the way, first couple times I got on that log, I really didn't know how to fight those guys. But after a while, I got pretty good at it. Okay? I don't know if I ever put you in. I know you put me in. Okay? But we had a lot of good times out there. Okay? And again, you learn how to fight guys on that log after a while. Because tribulation brings what? Patience. And what's patience? Doing the right thing. Okay? And then patience brings experience. And experience what? And I'll tell you what. When I'm walking out on that log, I got one thing to say to you. You're going down. I got hope. It's quite not the confident trust, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm learning how to do that. Good thing to do there. Again, Psalm 33, verses 18 to 22. Again, Brother Bob read them to us, or has he not? Again, I go. Again, he'll deliver their soul from death, it says in verse 19. He'll keep them alive in famine. Okay? Again, because we have trusted in His holy name. Okay? Again, I tell people, I've been young, now I'm old. Two things I've never seen. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God says there that I will keep them alive even in time of famine. Again, tough times come, we serve a big God. I'm almost done. What's the opposite, though? Here's the opposite. Here's, again, a weak Christian who's not used to tribulation, who bails out every time. Again, getting this from the book of Proverbs, putting some verses together. But the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion's in the street. I shall be slain in the streets. Okay, you put those verses together, but that's what he's saying. Well, I'm not going out. There's a lion out there today. Okay, I think I'll just stay in bed all day. Oh, because if I get out of bed, there's things that, well, things could happen. Really? There's a lion in the street, so you're just going to change your entire life? What about David? Again, we studied David already. What did David say? Okay? What did David say? Now, I picked this up, but David basically said, look, Saul, I'm going to go out and face this guy. And they said, look, you don't know how to do this. And they were basically saying something like this. What experience do you have? Do you have references? Can I see your resume, David? What makes you think you can go fight this guy? David said, well, there was a time when a lion came out and took a lamb out of my dad's flock. And basically he said, I went out and I hit him. And he dropped the lamb. And I think as you tell the story there, he basically was carrying the lamb back and the lion came back after him. So he said, so I grabbed that guy by the beard and I killed him. Wow. Now, I've said this to some of you, you've heard me say this. How many of you really think you'd like to try that? Okay? I've shared this illustration, folks, and I am telling you the absolute truth. As I was out running the dog and doing some coon hunting one time, we came across a cat, a kitty cat, in a coyote trap. And I thought, I'm going to take this cat out of the trap. Because some poor persons, their cat is stuck in a trap and they need their kitty cat to come back home. Can I tell you something? I couldn't do it. That cat was hot. I mean, that cat was all over me. A kitty cat. Okay? And I finally had to say, I'm sorry, cat. I'm trying. But you're killing me. All right? Now, if you say, oh, Pastor, I didn't have anything. I just didn't have anything to help. And that cat, has anybody ever taken on a cat that was hot? I mean, just ready for blood and everything. I walked away from that cat. And that's when I just basically said, oh, David, how did you take on a lion? I can't even take on a kitty cat. Gave me a new appreciation for what a cat can do. That thing was mean. Okay. And then he said, besides that, a bear came out one time. A bear. Okay. And, he said there, I slew the bear too. I'll tell you what, bears are pretty tough, are they not? Pretty tough. And then he said, because of that, there's those tribulations. I've got some patience now. And because of that patience, I've got experience. And notice, as it says on the screen, right out of the Bible, he said, I've got some experience, and here's the hope that I have, that Philistine is going to be one of them, because he's defied the armies of the living God. Tribulation. Patience, experience, hope. I'm on my last screen. I got one more thing to put up there. But you know what? We need some strong Christians that whatever the devil and the world throw at us, we say, with God's help, we can beat this thing here. You know, sometimes I've just kind of noticed that in the Christian realm, in Christianity in America, the ACLU says something like this. Well, if you do that, we're going to sue you. And the Christians go like, oh, okay, then we'll not do it. Okay, we're done. If you're going to pray around that flagpole, we're going to sue you. Okay, well, then we won't pray around the flagpole. Okay? Where's the men who say, we're going to pray around the flagpole, sue us, and we're going to beat you in court? And if we lose at court, we're going back to the flagpole anyway. Well, we're going to throw you in jail. Go ahead. Because we need a little strength right now. We've been kind of weenies lately, and that's a little wimps. And we need some strength to throw us in jail because we got to strengthen up. We're not going to quit. Go ahead and threaten us. Tell us what you're going to do to us. We're not stopping. Okay? We need some Christians to stand up and say, you know what? We got to do this. I heard some things happen, okay? And maybe some of you see them or whatever. But again, the Duck Dynasty people. You know, they said, oh, we're going to take you off TV and all that. And they're like, go ahead. But we're not stopping living the way we're going to live. And next thing you know, a lot of people wrote in. Next thing you know, A&E said what? Oh, we're going to put them back on. Okay? Some people stood up and said, you know what? The one that just happened, and I watched I saw Huckabee last night for a couple minutes. There's two brothers that are twins that are going to build houses or do something. Some of you know, flip-flop houses, whatever they do. I guess A&E came or somebody, House and Garden, they said, we can't do your show because you're Christians and you stand on Christian values. Well, their bank came to them. And the bank said, oh, well, we're going to drop you and we're not going to support you anymore and give you loans. Yesterday, the bank announced we're giving them all the loans they want. Because you know what happened? A bunch of Christians called the bank and said, we're done with your bank. We're taking our money out. We don't want loans from you anymore. If you're going to judge us by our convictions, we don't want to have anything to do with your bank. And the bank came back and said, we're going to put those guys back on our rolls because we like them. There's some Christians standing up and saying what? We're done with being messed with, okay? We're done with the 9-foot-9 giant said, you know what, I'm going to feed you to the birds. We're done saying, well, we're going to hide behind rocks. We're with David. You know what? You're going to be as that lion and that bear because you have defied the living God. We need some strong Christians. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm just not that strong, okay? God will start you with smaller tribulations. He'll build you up. And then one day, you're going to be strong enough to take on corporations, banks, whoever. Just a little bit of time, and you'll get stronger. You'll get stronger. Again, the verse that I end with, don't turn to it. You should know it. Oh, we memorized this, did we not? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me. I will answer thee and show you what? Great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Let's stop hiding behind rocks, in caves, under bushes, when the enemies of God come after us. Let's go take them on. Let's get strong. Let's learn how to not turn back in the day of battle. You know what? Let's learn from tribulation, patience, experience, and hope. We can do this because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Father, I pray that you would help us again to put on our armor. Lord, we're in a fight. We're in a battle for Christianity. Lord, for our faith, and Lord, I pray that more and more we will come out and stand up and be counted, and Lord, take on the fight. Lord, you can do all things. You just need sometimes a person to stand up that you can fight through. And Lord, may that be me. May that be us. And Lord, may we stop running because of a threat or something that somebody says they're going to do. But Lord, I pray that we would learn to stand with those who are strong. Lord, make us strong. Lord, throw away the chaff from the sermon, but Lord, may the Word of God and the things that we have read sink deep in our hearts. And today, this week, this year, when a tribulation comes, help us to run into it and get stronger. That'll give us experience and experience hope. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.